So, Elliot, the big first piece of news is that after 19 months, the Detroit Film Theater finally welcoming back audiences. And we'll talk about the very buzzed about documentary that you've got to help welcome people back. But first up, tell me how it feels to get back to having people see these films on the big screen at the DFT.
I feel like a kid again. It's very exciting. It's almost like we're opening the DFT for the first time. I always kind of feel like that at the beginning of every new season, and there have been a lot of seasons in the past 47 years. But with this kind of interruption, which was a world-shaking event, and is still with us to a large degree, reopening the theater now is both an act of faith and I think an important step that a lot of theaters like ours are taking across the world to bring people back in touch with the cinema of every corner of the earth and to see these films the way they were meant to be seen on the big screen.
Shiny, shiny, shiny boots of leather, whiplash girl child in the dark. Comes in bells, your servant, don't forsake him. Strive, dear mistress, and cure his heart.
Elliot, you had some tough decisions to make because, you know, with this season, there's a little bit of a backlog of movies to choose from to play for audiences. You've also got, you know, reduced capacity at the theater. We're going to have about 300 people in there and all the COVID protocols and everything. And you come out the gate for this 2021 season, this return season, with a documentary about probably one of the most important rock and roll bands ever, The Velvet Underground. And that's also the name of this documentary. Why did you pick this film to welcome back your audience?
Here's the thing. First of all, I think it's a perfect film to welcome back the audience. The film does something really extraordinary, which is in its discussion of the convergence of the excitement of developing a new art form or new ways of expressing oneself in a particular art, which is what the people involved in this film, you know, Lou Reed, Nico, all of the people involved in, Andy Warhol, in the creation of the Velvet Underground, growing out of an artistic moment, a general artistic moment of the mid-1960s in a particular place, New York City. The director of this movie, Todd Haynes, rather brilliantly assembles that story into a larger tale of creativity that was taking place at the time. And one of the big threads that he picks up on is filmmaking, the entire experimental filmmaking movement of the 1960s, which was just like a rocket. People were discovering 16 millimeter cameras, 8 millimeter cameras, were making films on their own, not just in the streets of New York, but in the streets of Detroit, everywhere across the country. Many of us were going to late night underground film screenings of films made by, you know, Stan Brakhage and so many of the other filmmakers at the time. One of the people, chief people interviewed in this movie about the Velvet Underground, about Warhol's factory, the whole scene that created ultimately the Velvet Underground and Warhol cinema, is a guy by the name of Jonas Mekas, who was the head of an extraordinary film archive in New York, the Anthology Film Archives, where a lot of people gathered to see experimental film. And Mekas himself was a very renowned filmmaker, underground or independent filmmaker at the time, with films like his autobiographical Reminiscences of a Journey to Lithuania and so many other films that are of different lengths and different styles. And he was a kind of centerpiece for a lot of artistic activity in New York. And he was very close to a lot of the people who were part of Warhol's factory and was one of the people who exhibited Andy Warhol's films and the films made by his associate Paul Morrissey at the time. Films like The Chelsea Girls, which the split screen style of is emulated to some degree in Todd Haynes' documentary about the Velvet Underground, to bring in all of these different stories. So we get to see Jonas Mekas talking about this era. He died just a couple of years ago, Jonas, and remained a lively figure in cinema. And so all of these different figures who just express themselves with a kind of freedom and excitement are not just documented in the film, like here's what they did, but what this movie really in an extraordinary way brings out is how it felt to the people who were there, how it felt to the observers, to the listeners, to be on the scene, not just here's what I saw at Max's Kansas City, but here's what I saw at the Anthology Film Archives. Here's what I saw on the streets. Here's what it was like to experience the Velvet Underground's music for the first time at, you know, this corner, at this particular place, at this particular time. And it plunges you into New York in the mid-1960s.
We have all come here together, over there, Andy Warhol.
We have this chance to combine music and art and films all together. We're sponsoring a new band. It's called The Velvet Underground.
And me, I'm in a rock and roll band.
That was my first time in New York, and I was appalled. This place is filthy.
Cinema, money, parties. It was outrageous.
People came because the cameras were running. They thought they could become famous.
At the center of it is the exploding art world.
It opened your eyes to a lot of possibilities.
Elliot, there's a ton of never before seen performances, obviously lots of recordings, lots of great music, perspective from people that were there. But we are truly drowning in music documentaries right now. They just seem to be pumped out of a factory, all puns intended. When it really comes down to it for the audience, I mean, what stands out the most about the approach to the Velvet Underground and this specific music documentary in a marketplace that's so crowded with them right now?
It's contextualizing the music of the Velvet Underground, not how so-and-so met so-and-so and they all got together and this cute thing happened and that interesting anecdote happened that everybody's heard 100 times, but what it was like on a larger scale to be in the midst of that kind of creative uprising, of which the Velvet Underground is actually just a part. I don't want to say a small part, but a part. Haynes looks at the bigger picture. He's somebody as a filmmaker who has been influenced not just by the artists of the mid-1960s, but he understands that to make great films, you're going to be looking at the great creative works of the past, and you're going to be synthesizing them into something brand new. What he does here is to take a really generous point of view. The movie is not just made for Velvet Underground fanatics, people who want an image that they haven't seen before, or something that came out of the Warhol library in Warhol Museum in Pittsburgh, that's from the archives, or one of Andy's silent film images that they may have never seen before, Lou Reed or whatever. All that stuff's interesting. However, it's what Haynes does in terms of folding it into the larger picture, primarily, not just other music, but primarily cinema, primarily this generational new way of using film and comparing it to a generationally new way of creating music.
I be your mirror, reflect what you are, in case you don't know. I be the wind, the rain and the sunset, the light on your door, to show that you're home. When you think the night has in your mind, that inside you're twisted and unkind, let me stand. and to show that you are blind, please put down your hands, 'cause I see you.
I mean, Elliot, you've got me sold on this. I'm very excited to dive into the Velvet Underground, the scene, the sound, and all that. And, you know, defending the music documentary and really the curation that the DFT has done of them, I've seen some great ones with the DFT. The Tiny Tim documentary, we talked about it before on the show. People can check that out over at WDET.org. One of the best music documentaries I've ever seen in my life. And because it does tell a larger story about a cultural moment. What's another great music documentary, real quickly, that you would recommend to people to watch, too?
I'm going to tell you one that's got very little music in it, but one that I absolutely loved and hated to see get away from a lot of folks. I think it's probably streaming someplace. It's a little film called Carmine Street Guitars, and it's about a small guitar store on a street that I think only runs about two blocks in Lower Manhattan, Carmine Street. It's a store that sells famous guitars, also handcrafted guitars of their own, special orders. And what you see during the film is people who are, you know, ordinary folks, also really notable musicians, who walk in just to look around, to say hello to the owners, and to test or play and try out guitars, or talk about issues that they're having, or ask for something special. And you're spending an hour and a half in a little relatively small area, kind of eavesdropping on people who are there for the art, for the music, and the pleasure of creating it, the pleasure of remembering it. And you can smell this movie. You can smell the wood and the shellac. And you can smell some of the customers. You just find it's a sensory, beautiful, eloquent little experience.
That documentary came out back in 2018. It's called Carmine Street Guitars. You can find it streaming online with a quick search. One of the recommendations of Elliot Wilhelm from the Detroit Film Theater. As we get ready to step back into that theater, see a documentary on the big screen. What's going to be screening there this weekend is a documentary called The Velvet Underground about, you guessed it, The Velvet Underground. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, there's going to be multiple showings. You can find all of those over at WDET.org. Elliot's going to be hanging out with us all throughout the fall as the DFT has this 2021 season. We'll be talking about all the films that are going on there. Next week, we'll hear about one called On Broadway. Elliot, thank you so much for stopping by.
Hey, it's my pleasure, Ryan. And everybody should really check out advanced ticket purchase and all of our COVID protocols and so on at DIA.org before coming down to see the film this weekend.